It's time for This Week in WordPress, episode number 351, entitled He Makes Things So That I Can Make Things. It was recorded on Monday, the 6th of October, 2025. My name's Nathan Wrigley, and I'm joined today by my co-host, Michelle Frechette, but also by guests Tim Nash and Courtney Robertson. It's a WordPress podcast, so we do get into some WordPress things. But before that, we spend a bit of time talking about whether it's possible for a computer to do anything which is random. Tim is adamant that it's not possible. I really want it to be possible, and it just keeps cropping up throughout the whole episode. So that's a lot of fun. Michelle Frechette also brings lots and lots of WordPress events to the show as well, and we talk about some bits and pieces coming up, including WP Accessibility Day, which is just around the corner. And then we get into all of the different bits and pieces. So WordPress 6.8.3 is being released. Tammy Lister has a fantastic new project called Blocktober, where she's creating a different block with Telex every day of this month. We actually spend a little bit of time talking about WP Accessibility Day because of a podcast episode I did with a couple of the contributors to that project. Nick Hamsey is creating a bit of a stir in the WordPress space, particularly around plugins and how they're discovered. Quite a lot of it I really sympathize with, and so we get into that to quite a large extent. We also talk about the fact that Kathy Zant has used the podcast plugin, Podcaster Plus, that me and Dan Maybe have been making. She used it out in the wild, and it was absolutely fascinating watching a YouTube video about that. And then we spend a bit of time talking about the community, about codes of conduct, and a whole load of other things as well. And it's all coming up next on This Week in WordPress. This episode of the WP Builds podcast is brought to you by GoDaddy Pro, the home of managed WordPress hosting that includes free domain, SSL, and 24/7 support. Bundle that with the Hub by GoDaddy Pro to unlock more free benefits to manage multiple sites in one place, invoice clients, and get 30% off new purchases. Find out more at go.me/WP Builds. And by Bluehost. Redefine your web hosting experience with Bluehost Cloud. Managed WordPress hosting that comes with lightning-fast websites, 100% network uptime, and 24/7 priority support. With Bluehost Cloud, the possibilities are out of this world. Experience it today at bluehost.com/cloud. And by OmniSend. Do you sell your stuff online? Then meet OmniSend. Yes, that OmniSend. The email and SMS tool that helps you make 73 bucks for every dollar spent. The one that's so good, it's almost boring. Hate the excitement of rollercoaster sales? Prefer a steady line going up? Try OmniSend today at omnisend.com. Hello, hello, hello. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome wherever you are in the world. That's probably the wrong way to set up this, isn't it? Let's go with that. That's a bit nicer. There are four of us, but Tim Nash is disappeared.
To you,
yes.
That is either the longest 2 minutes or the shortest 2 minutes in podcasting, depending on what you're trying to do during those 2 minutes.
Yeah. If there's nothing to do, that is torture. Those 2 minutes and that song. But if you've got loads to do,
if you're trying to run to the restroom or something, it's like, oh my gosh, it's almost over.
I know. It's ridiculous. Anyway, here we are. We're going to be joined in a minute by a fourth guest. He's been on the show, but he's been on the panel in the background, but he's just had to nip off for a moment. That's Tim Nash. But we'll do the quick introduction, including for Tim as well, because he'll definitely be joining us. But let's go around the houses and firstly say welcome. Episode number 351 of This Week in WordPress. As you can see, we've got Michelle Frechette and Courtney Robertson joining us. Let's go that way first and say hello to Michelle Frechette. How are you doing?
I am well, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, good. Yeah, really, really nice. Michelle, as you know, if you've listened to this before, because she's frequently here as a co-host, she is the Executive Director of Post Status. And in addition to the work over there, she's also the podcast barista of WP Coffee Talk, the co-founder of Underrepresented in Tech, creator of WP Speakers, WP Career Pages, co-founder of Sponsor Me WP and Speed Network Online. She's also an author, an influencer, and a frequent organizer and speaker at WordPress and other tech events. Living outside of Rochester, New York, she likes to take nature photographs. And the one URL which we kind of always mention that encapsulates the whole lot is meet michelle.online. Thank you for joining us again. Really appreciate it.
Of course. I will tell you that it's our high today is 28 Celsius, 83 Fahrenheit.
Whoa.
For October, that is almost unheard of.
So. Yeah, that's crazy. Like, yeah, we do not have that here. Although I can imagine that where Courtney is, it's a bit hotter. Hello, Courtney.
It's only maybe 1 or 2 degrees either direction, whether it's Fahrenheit or Celsius compared to Michelle. Michelle is about a, 4.5-5 hour drive from me, I think.
Yeah.
So it's not terribly different in the temperature or climate, but it's lovely to be here. Windows were open all night, overnight, last night still. I'm enjoying the last bits of summer, dare I say, October.
We've got the same here. It's it's unseasonably hot, which is really nice.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry, let me do the proper introduction for Courtney. So Courtney Robertson is an open source developer advocate at GoDaddy, WordPress mentor, co-founding board member of the WP Community Collective. I wanted to say WPCC then, but realized that it collides, doesn't it, with another project. A former computer science educator, she champions contributor onboarding and sustainable funding. Off stage, she plays, now this is curious, you've never put this in your bio before, at least I've never made a note of it. Off stage, she plays a 7-string electric violin. What the heck? How do you even get your fingers? I've got bananas for fingers. I'm not even getting, I'd be doing 3 strings at once.
For the audio only folks, I just held up my violin and it looks kind of like
a strap.
Body, right? Yeah. And it just has 3 lower strings added to it.
I want to know what the YouTube channel is to go listen to you play.
Ah, no kidding.
Oh, no.
Oh no.
We're not doing that.
No, says Courtney.
Not yet.
To a WordCamp stage near you.
Yeah.
Actually, I don't know about a WordCamp, but I have asked, there is somebody in our WordPress community that has performed at CloudFest Europe.
Yeah, you should get yourself on stage and do that. That'd be interesting. However, I didn't finish the bio. There's a couple of extra things. After the seven-string electric violin, mic drop, but you also like to play around with 3D printing, hiking, photographs, and gardens. 3D printing is something I always see other people doing and get kind of jealous, thinking I'd like to try that. But that's a nice hobby to have, I think. Okay, and that's 2 of the 3. Tim has joined us. He's back on the camera. So there's Tim. Hello, Tim.
Hey. How are you doing?
You've entered at the top. Oh, it's because you were the first one in. That's how it works.
Take priority.
There's Tim Nash. And he's called himself a doom speaker. He always provides us with an interesting bio. And I confess, this time I didn't read it, so I've no idea what's coming. So let's hope it's not that weird. Tim Nash is the person you don't admit you call. Okay. Oh, I get it. He is many agencies' dirty little secret. Oh, it's like that, is it? He could be your dirty little secret because as a security consultant specializing in WordPress, he spends his days helping people secure client sites, but he also can be found diagnosing weird issues on servers or helping teams develop new systems and processes. You can learn more about Tim at timnash.co.uk. There was nothing too weird in there. I love the little dirty little secret bit though. I guess that's part of your life. You just sort of merge into the background, never to be seen.
I mean, if people are shouting about me, it's probably a problem. Not a great fit for it. But you can, and you can definitely hire me. The reason I was a bit late was I was on the phone to the garage, and now I have a £2,000 garage bill to
deal with. No, never answer the phone to the garage, Jim. It's a basic mistake. Mind you, it doesn't make the bill go away, sadly. Let's just have a quick look at the comments. Firstly, before we do that, I'll just raise up, if you are joining us and you would like your friends and relations and things to come and join with us, that would be lovely. This is probably the best place to do that. Let me just see if I can make the comments not do that. I'm not sure why it's doing that. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. Auto shift, it says, sorry. Michelle, it's going to interrupt like that a bit today. There's the URL.
I just wish I was taller. That's all.
Yeah, that's, you need to get one of those chairs where you can pump the handle and up you go. Go share this URL, wpbuilds.com/live. If you go there, there's a little YouTube box on the side, so you need to be logged into Google. You can make some comments in there. However, if you don't want to be logged in, inside the video player is a little live chat button. Top right says live chat on it, and you don't need to be logged into anything at all. So there we go, wpbuilds.com/live. Let's have a look. There's always a few comments. It's lovely when people join us. Appreciate that. Today we got three or four. Let's see who we got first. First up is Tammy. Hello, Tammy. We're going to be talking about you later, so maybe your ears are burning. But good afternoon, she says. Good evening, says Cameron, joining us, I think, from Australia. I always say Australia, and I'm sure that's right at the moment.
One day Cameron's going to tell you that actually he lives in Bournemouth.
Yes, that's right. He's in Scarborough. He's just down the road from me. Nomad Skateboarding says, good morning. Indeed, good morning. We do have Robo Courtney. There's not much we can do about that. I think the audio at this point is just what it is. Yeah, it was better, Courtney, and then it's gone back to being bad again.
Oh, well, then it's not.
No, yeah. Just ignore it. It's what it is. You know, we can understand every word. Yeah, you're
I'm sorry, friends.
It's strange.
Just say exterminate. I just want to hear it once.
Go on.
Exterminate.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yes, it is.
Bit key. Yeah, Tim's like, ooh.
I feel we found you a new profession. You know, if you've ever... Dev advocacy is not for you.
I can run around with plungers from inside of a trash bin. When I was at the airport in Heathrow coming back like a week ago from LoopConf, there was an automated little robot that was milling about cleaning things, I guess. But I really thought it was a Dalek, especially when somebody turned around too quickly and tripped over it.
I saw. You either posted a video or you posted a picture of it.
I didn't take a video of the person tripping. No.
Because in the UK, you know, in America, you've got all these Waymos and driverless vehicles and all that. I don't think we've got any of that in this. I could be wrong, but I feel like we don't have any of that.
You've got little robots that are going down the street delivering things from Amazon, and Co-op little robots all over the place now.
Yeah. Do we have that? Okay, all right, I take it all back. We're way ahead of you there in the US. We've got robots everywhere. Jane in the airports, a whole lot. But she isn't a Dalek. I can promise you she's absolutely real because I saw her a couple of weeks ago. Right, Tammy's come back with a comment. Hot, you must have all the sun that Nathan... Yeah, the sun Nathan is. It's not warm. No, it is. It's quite warm here. It's about 20 degrees. It's lovely, Tammy. So there you go. What else have we got? Mark Wilkinson's joining us. Have you fixed your camera? My camera, I wonder if that's a question to me. Did I break something? I can't remember. And then we've got June. We're going to mention you in a minute. June, hello. Very nice to have you with us as well. And then we've got various people. Yeah, okay. So Tammy says, we have robots delivering food, Nathan. I don't like the idea of the sentence food, Nathan. It sounds like I'm on the menu.
But if you can get on the little co-op ones, you can actually get on them. And then they stop and ask you very politely, please get off them.
Oh, do they?
Please remove yourself from me.
That's so
polite. I will not operate until you remove me.
I swear, there's none of that where I live at all. So I live in a different century. That's the problem. The further north in the UK you go, the further back in time.
This was like they were first trialed in Leeds. So you're on the same plane. Just
okay. All right. Yeah, but it's not quite the same, though, is it?
You just never leave your home, Nathan.
Yeah, that's right. That's what it is. Yeah, yeah, look. And then welcome to Grandpa, Nathan. Yes, indeed. We have robot. Look, you see, you're all at it, you robot freaks. We have robots cutting the grass on my golf course. Okay.
I don't think Mark is responsible for the robots cutting the grass on his golf course.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's very highfalutin. He's got his own golf course. Hopefully you're taking this in the spirit in which it's offered, Mark. And then ML, hello from Maya from Belgrade. Oh, hi, Maya. ML, Maya.
Hey, Maya.
Oh, guessing. Marcus Bennett, we'll make this the last one. Marcus Bennett says, hello, folks. Good to see you all. Indeed. Thank you. So there we go. That's how you can interact with the show. Honestly, it makes the whole show so much more interesting. I can't promise to keep up, but I will do my best. And obviously the panel will help with that endeavor as well. So if you've got something you want to say halfway through an item, please drop it in. We get diverted quite easily. So that's quite nice. Okay. Right. Should we put on the screen what it is that we're going to be doing today? So here we are. A few bits of self-promotion first. Forgive me, but, you know, it keeps the lights on. Here's the first bit. This is our website, wpbuilds.com. If you put your address into this field, we'll send you a couple of emails. Basically, when we drop content, two bits a week, this show and a podcast on Thursday, nothing else, basically, except there's this one time of year when we do not honour that project, and that is now, actually. It's in the run-up to Black Friday. I don't know if you kind of follow Black Friday in the WordPress space, but it does tend to get a bit messy. And I don't know, maybe like 6 years ago or something like that, I started this Black Friday page. Last year, I think we had about 450 deals on there. You can find it at wpbuilds.com/black. At the moment, there's about 30, something like that. But basically, if you've got a product or service in the WordPress space and you want to stick it on this page, it's totally free. You just click this add a deal button, fill out the form, add an image, you know, fill out the required fields, and we'll stick it on here. And then when people come along, you know, they can search for the bits and pieces that you submit to us. Hopefully it'll mean that your product or service gets a little bit of a, you know, a bit of a bump. Lots of people go to this page each and every year. And then we've got little sponsor slots at the top if that's your bag as well. You know, if you'd like to have pride of place, as we say, at the top, then you can click these little get started buttons. But it's wpbuilds.com/black. And yeah, you know what it's like. Black Friday gets a bit crazy, doesn't it? So that's happening. The other thing to mention, I guess, is that we just do our regular podcast. This week, if you're interested, I chatted with Pradeep from RT Camp. They have a new tool called Web Auditor, which does a load of fun AI-based stuff around auditing your website, including changing things for you automatically and then kind of doing this A-B test. So it'll change content for you, see how that works, remove JavaScript, see how that works, and then report back to you. It's kind of an interesting tool. And obviously, you know, RT Camp, enterprise level agency, they're pushing this now. So that's kind of interesting as well. And that's about it. Okay, so the next thing then is at the beginning of the show, we surface up user-submitted content, that is the panelists. And although Tim did not surface this, I did on his behalf because he was posting on, I can't remember, Blue Sky or something this week, and he was talking about the fact that random, to cut a long story short, computers do not do random. And you had something happen to you over the last period where somebody came, and although the article is all about a security thing on a WordPress website, which seems to have been a bit of a non-event, I'm genuinely fascinated by how computers cannot do random. Why the heck is why can't they do random stuff?
Because they're programmed.
Yeah. But...
I mean, literally, if you think about it, they use logic.
Yeah.
Logic is all structured and. Now, try and think in your mind how you would logically break down something to be random.
Do you know, this was for me the thing that I always said until like 2 years ago, when obviously that moment passed. I always thought this argument, why computers can't do random, would be the exact reason they could never make art. They could never make a song. They could never create a painting because it occurred to me they didn't have that ill-defined thing, which creativity, see, there's a bit of randomness and serendipity in it, but that's not the case. Like, they can now do art and they can do songs, but they still can't do random.
You gave, you know, the main famous phrase, if you gave an infinite number of monkeys typewriters, yeah, they'll eventually write Shakespeare.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what AI is. You're just giving it, we're just giving it some slightly more, some constraints and pointing it towards a source to start with. So AI is going to all, is what AI produces is not random.
But it's not
creative.
Because the heart of so much security out there, like, for example, I have Bitwarden, it's my password manager. I click the random password generator button, and this thing which approximates random to me, you know, 40 characters of just pseudo random junk comes out. And I think, yeah, that's random. And it's totally not random. Presumably, you could work backwards if you knew what all the things were that were lined up to get that password out. I don't know if that's the case, because I imagine it's interrogating your computer for what the heck's the CPU doing? What's the temperature of this thing over here? What's the screen over here doing? You know, it combines all of these things, which creates this simulation of random. But it's still not random. If you knew all the inputs, the output would always be the same, I guess.
To a certain extent, yes. But generally, so the other thing is, how random do we need it to be? And that actually is what the crux of that article was really about. I think everybody can accept, if we are building logic systems and deterministic systems, we can't make random. It has to have an external source for its randomness. Otherwise, because it can't possibly come up with something, there's no logic to make something random. So once we get past that, we can make something look random. And as you say, if we have enough variances, enough things that we're pulling those inputs through, actually too many is proves to be an interesting secondary problem, but we can make something look random. And if it looks random, is that good enough? Now, if in certain security issue considerations around encryption, no, we want things a little bit more random than you might imagine. But even in those scenarios, we still can find ourselves where we can say it's good enough. It's not perfectly random, but it is good enough. But if I'm just picking, you know, I have six blog posts and I want to show one of them to you randomly, we don't need to be that random about that. That's fine. We can come down to a safer set of like, yeah, this is cool. You could work this out ultimately, but it's close enough to random.
So sorry to interrupt that. Would a new, because I feel like we shot past the Turing test like about a year and a half ago and nobody blinked an eye. It was like, oh yeah, computers can talk to us now. We would never know. Like that was always going to be a thing, the Turing test. It just sort of seems like, yeah, okay, it's in the rearview mirror now. But would if a computer could produce a random number and it could be proven to be random, would that be some portion of the Turing test? Would that
just to check, you realize you can't produce a random number.
I want to say that I can.
Seven.
There you go.
Yeah. You absolutely can't produce a random
You had
number.
To think about it.
I know.
You had to think about it. You had to pull from a finite set of digits.
Oh, it's so infuriating because we get into this whole debate about consciousness and where the heck the number seven actually popped up from.
It's irrelevant because the number seven is definitely not random.
All right, nine then.
No.
Tim, what company is it? I feel like you would know this. There is a company that uses photographs of random stuff in their lobby. Like, not random. Yeah.
Cloudflare, they've got a wall of lava lamps, haven't they?
Yeah, that.
Yeah.
Lava lamps or other...
But you would be like, if you were a Laplacian determinist and you think you could rewind the clock...
I couldn't spell it, so I would never be that.
No, but you know what I mean? his whole thing was like, if you could predict... Well, obviously, Heisenberg says you can't, but anyway. If you could predict where every molecule in the lava lamp was at any moment and you knew what you knew where it was moving, you'd be able to predict each lava lamp. But of course, it's just out of the bounds of compute. You can't...
Well, more importantly, the sensor that's taking the photo is waste. Right. That doesn't matter. But that's irrelevant. I mean, irrelevant to that, even that was then proven that those lava lamps were ultimately not true randomness, but we just need to get close to true randomness.
Can I just say, I totally have proof of the existence of randomness. It's called my cat. My cat is totally random. There's just nothing normal about my cat. You know, it just comes and sits on your face in the middle of the night. And
I imagine that your cat thinks very logically.
Very sensible cat, yeah. It's fascinating. Anyway, there you go. So computers cannot do random. And if you think that they can, you're wrong. Maybe, like I said, one day that'll be the thing.
And more importantly, you can't do random either. Let's be clear. Humans, animals, cat, whether it's a cat, whether it's a human, whether it's a computer, we all are relatively deterministic in our approach. We might not understand what's causing that supposed logic, but we all work on a set of rules. So.
Yeah, you're right. You are so right. Okay, here we go. Let's go into the comments. So back into why computers can't be random. Tammy says, because they're logic machines. Olivia Lafleur says, because computers are deterministic, they rely on things that look like random, like time, but you can replicate them if you know the initial conditions. Yeah, that's what I was meaning about the lava lamps, if you could somehow go backwards in time and figure it out. And I mentioned about art. Art isn't random. Okay, that's interesting, yeah. Art is predictable. It's just finding the predictability or the pattern. Oh, this is fascinating. Olivia, again, goes on to say, artificial intelligence has always been a moving goalpost. Things that were a criteria for AI 50 years ago, for example, playing chess, are now expert systems. Yeah, that's interesting. Artificial intelligence just means we haven't figured out where the limits of the system are yet. Oh, so much interesting stuff. And then just to bring things back down, let's go back to tea. That's good. Tammy, I'm enjoying tea I purchased with you at LoopConf. Oh, look at that. See, that was random. Nobody expected that. Oh, yes, they did.
Unexpected in the comments.
Yeah. Tammy expected it and Courtney. Darn. Okay. I would love for it something to be random. But anyway, let's go to the next thing. But okay, no, one more thing. Roy says, those lava lamps were actually first done by SGI in 19.
So still very not random.
No.
I love Zach says, close to random is his punk band name.
Oh, is it? Okay. Yeah, close to random. No, not not actually random. Okay.
See, now if I'd known that, that would have made a way better title.
Yeah. Right.
Close to random.
Go on.
Zach, will you be mad if we use that as the show title?
It's got to be that, hasn't it? Close to random.
Would that infringe upon your band's copyrights?
At all? On the list. Close.
Or my cat is random. One of the two.
Okay, there we go.
Close the cat random. That sits on my head is random.
I'd be kind of curious to know, see if anybody can put in a random comment, like just utterly left field that makes us all laugh. That'd be kind of an interesting.
But it's no longer random because you've determined it would happen.
See, you prompted them.
Okay. You see, this is why Tim has to go and have no friends or whatever it was he said in his bio. Oh, that's right. He had no friends. He's a dirty little secret, apparently, is what it says.
Grumpy old man. Get off my lawn. I like it.
That's right.
I don't know that we've ever gotten this philosophical on the show.
Yeah,
so
no,
what's,
it's great.
What's next?
Yeah, okay.
We're half an hour in, folks.
Nothing as good as that, but never mind. Here we go.
Let's randomly pick the exact next tab in here.
Okay, here we go. No, you're not going to randomly pick the next tab. I'm actually going to the end because you just threw these in, Michelle, because that was Tim's piece. Here's some that Michelle wanted us to mention. They're all events. So
yeah, we have several events coming up over the next 2 months. Well, yeah, a little bit over under 2 months. So Evolve Digital is happening in New York City. It was scheduled to be a one-day event, is now 2 days. They've got so many great speakers lined up. And they have a track specifically for WordPress. And you have, oh, nope, it's too late. It was up until last week to apply to speak.
Getting it in, Michelle.
I know. Same. But you can still plan to attend. So it will be in New York City. It's Civic Hall in Union Square, November 20th to 21st.
Okay, perfect. That's the first one. Here's number two.
Number two is CloudFest. CloudFest is coming up at the beginning in November 5th and 6th in Miami. Unfortunately, I won't be able to attend one. It's just a little outside of my price range for this year to do all that travel. But CloudFest USA, there's going to be some amazing WordPressers speaking there. Jess Frick, who is one of our co-hosts here on the Week More Press, will be speaking, as will Mary Hubbard will be speaking there too. And a few others whose names are escaping me right now, but tickets are still on sale for CloudFest USA. You can absolutely go, and it will be in Miami, so it'll be nice and warm down there, hopefully, the first part of November.
Nice, nice, nice. Right, number three, then, is this one.
Yep, number three is WordCamp Canada. So WordCamp Canada is coming up the 15th, 16th, and 17th in Ottawa, Ontario, Canada, and it's on my birthday, October 15th, I will actually... I'm going to be speaking on the 16th. I'm delivering a keynote for Women Tech Global on the 15th, and then I get right in my car and drive to Ottawa for WordCamp Canada. So tickets are still on sale for that as well.
Zach says he's going to be there. You're going to be Miami. Yeah. Maybe bringing his camera with him. Right. And then the next one I'm going to introduce in a circuitous way via the podcast episode that I did. Perfect. So you'll see in a moment on the screen. There we go. We had a podcast episode, or I had a podcast episode over on the Tavern website with June Liu, who's in the chat, actually. Really nice.
Yeah.
And I know him as Dave, but it's David is what we've got written here. David Denado, two representatives of WP Accessibility Day. And so we did a podcast about why the mission matters, what's going on the day, and how you can expect that day to run. It's a 24-hour event and so on, which leads me, I guess, to the website. Is there anything specific, Michelle, that you wanted to chime in with?
I just wanted to make sure you have to register to be able to attend. It is not live streaming to YouTube as it has in the past. It is live streaming through Zoom and through Zoom webinars. So you have to register to attend. It is free to do so. You're absolutely welcome to make a donation at the time that you register. It is run as a 501c3 charitable organization here in the United States. So if you are in the US, any donation you make when you register to attend is tax deductible. But I wanted to make sure that you know you can't just happen upon it on the day of. You absolutely have to register in advance. And that was running on the 15th and 16th of October as well.
Yeah, really.
Do you know what prompted the change, out of curiosity?
Yes, it is because when we're doing American Sign Language at the same time. So not only are the sessions being transcribed across the bottom of the screen in English, but we're also doing... at the same time, American Sign Language, and to be able to have all of that on the screen at the same time was not possible with YouTube. So it had to be done through Zoom.
So it's being transcribed and signed all at the same time. So it's human transcriptions happening at the same time. Gosh, that's
correct. So when people say, how much could it possibly cost to run an event like that? When you have human transcription and human ASL happening all at the same time, and you're paying for Zoom and all of the things, it does actually add up. And so we are, as I said, a 501c3 charitable organization here in the U.S., and all of the money that we raise through that absolutely goes back into the organization to make the event possible year after year.
Can I ask a quick question about this? So you may not have the answer, but you mentioned that obviously you've got to pre-register. So presumably there's some funnel that you drop into, which then allows you to get a Zoom link and things like that. If you were to fail to register, but decide on the day that you wish to register, is it kind of game over, or do you know if there's an
option? You can register day of. It's just that you won't get all of the reminders in advance. And so it won't be on your calendar unless you go all the extra mile to do those things. But if you register in advance, you will get the reminder emails that it's coming up. You'll get the links. Everything will happen in plenty of time to be set up for success to watch at any point during that 24 hours that you'd like to.
So if memory serves, it starts, as these events often do, sort of like the New Zealand side of the world, you know, the international dateline, and then sort of cycles through and then finishes off Hawaii and what have you by the end of 24 hours.
Starts at, I believe, 1 p.m. Central time here in the United States.
Let's look that up, actually. Let's see what we can see. What would I do? I'd go to the schedule, I guess, wouldn't I?
Let's
have a look on there. See what we can find. You've got a really an impressive keynote speaker, haven't you? You've got Joe doing the open remarks. Okay, so it's 2:45 UTC. So that's kind of, you know, London, Europe, and so on. And then the actual stuff, if you like, begins at 3 o'clock in the UK with Vitaly Friedman. And I've actually forgotten where he's from. Where's he from?
He's from Smashing Magazine. Yep, he is the one of the founding members and the editor-in-chief at Smashing Magazine.
So go to 2025.wpaccessibility.day. There's a lot of dots in there.
Also, just in case anybody did listen to Nathan, it's 4 o'clock London time, not 3 o'clock.
You're quite right. I simply can't do the maths. There it is, clearly on the screen.
Which they clearly put on the screen for you.
How random was that I got that wrong? I'm going to keep crowbarring.
Which actually, I think, is 11 a.m. Central time. So I have that
luck. Yeah, okay, we'll go with that. Right, okay, so there we go. There's all the bits and pieces surrounding that. So we've managed to get back on track, I think, and here we are. Let's put some WordPress-y bits and pieces on the screen as well. Not really a lot to say here, excepting that if you are running client websites and, you know, they're not auto-updating, which you really probably should at this point, WordPress 6.8.3 was dropped during the course of this week. It was a security fix, so, you know, it says it in bold here. It is recommended that you update your sites immediately. The only bits and pieces that I can see down here, there were a couple of things in terms of security: a data exposure issue where authenticated users could access some restricted content, and then a cross-site scripting XSS vulnerability requiring an authenticated user role that affects the nav menu. Hopefully that's going to all have been taken care of. This sentence caught me short. So I've never really parsed this sentence. Maybe it's always been there at the bottom of these security changelog, you know, security posts. But it says this. Tell me if I'm wrong. Is this new or is this always the case? As a courtesy, these fixes have also been made available to all branches eligible to receive security updates, currently through 4.7. As a reminder, only the most recent version of WordPress is actively supported. I don't know why I thought, is that a new posture or is that how it's always been,
no,
Tim?
That's...
go, Connie.
Go, Connie.
Sorry. So, hosting perspective here. There are sites, if people are on a not managed plan, they can choose to run an old version of WordPress. And in running that old version of WordPress, security fixes still need to be addressed. And so those are being deployed pretty much across all hosting environments. Whereas if there is just a feature or a like some kind of a bug, right, like a normal bug, the feature doesn't work or something like that, that's not going to backport the security issues so much.
Okay.
So they do try to indicate when that happens, and we do see it also in plugins as well. Less common in themes, but that's just because people aren't switching those around quite as frequently, I guess.
Okay. Thank you.
Tim, you can verify me on if...
Because it is an absolute pain to backport security things. And there has been discussion every 6 months or so comes around the, should we be backporting? And there is positives and negatives towards backporting. At the moment, the clear important thing is that officially WordPress only supports the very latest release.
Yeah.
So if you were in a state where you, it was something where you required compliance reasons that you had to be up to date, you couldn't claim that 4.7.39 or whatever the that version is the latest version or in compliance. It is, as I say, really time consuming, and there has been a lot of we shouldn't maybe the security team shouldn't be backporting. Maybe that's not helping people update a long way, but they're maintaining that process, especially the 4.7 branch, because that was the last one before full site editing. And if you sort of look at the various graphs of where people stopped updating, there's very few prior to 4.7 installs out on the web. Still some. I came across one that was on 1.5 something the other day. It was like,
wow.
Had it not been hacked?
Did you log into that?
No. No, I think if you log into it, it dies. I'm not sure. It's like a Schrodinger's WordPress site. It's there only on paper.
It works as long as no one logs in.
Yeah, exactly. But 4.7, you do see this like little spike, and that is where people have gone, oh, I will not move over to Gutenberg full server editing that came in version 5.
Okay.
Rightly or wrongly.
Yeah.
You also weirdly now see quite a lot of people who went to Classic Press at that point back on and stuck on that 4.7 branch. You've got this very strange sort of group of people who are there. So the backporting to that's why it backports specifically to the 4 branch. At some point that will end, and it's got to, because the WordPress is diverging away. And as Courtney said, they're not putting the backporting new features in there, otherwise it would just be a release. So they're only backporting security fixes. They've also got to work out if the security fix actually relates to the older version as well. So if the code may have changed significantly, at which point they are then having to go back and look for a completely different fix for something. So we really could do a stopping it. On that release itself, probably a more interesting story was the little oopsie that PatchStack did, where they inadvertently released the that there was a security issue before the patch was made available, which they themselves went, oopsie,
I didn't see that. Just a little bit trigger
happy. So if you had PatchStack installed on any of your sites, or if your host was pulling in PatchStack, for a little while it was telling you that you've had a security vulnerability in your WordPress core, and there was no fix available. So that was a little oops.
That was
out of the 10,000.
Sorry, Courtney, you go. Sorry.
I think I saw that there was about the individual that had this leak, and I know his name, but I choose not to draw extra attention there, is that, you know, out of 10,000 or so times that this person has reviewed things, having this go through, and in addition to that, the vulnerabilities, you had to actually do a good bit of work to exploit them.
This is really one of those moments that you have to stand on one knee, pat your head, and do the tummy thing. And even then,
it's like you have to get through some security to get to do the thing to make the exploit, right? And so, in the sense of, is this a high risk? No, this is not a high risk. But the urgency to ship the release came because, whoops, now it's out there, and there are a lot of things that the security team could be working on if they had more bodies or whatever to get all of that through that we just don't know about.
Yeah.
And so, you know.
I didn't pick up on that PatchStack story, and that is a really interesting point of failure, isn't it? That obviously an organization like PatchStack presumably has many of these balls sort of juggling in the air simultaneously, and, you know, they get fixed, they announce, they talk about it publicly, blog post, what have you. But if they accidentally click the publish button,
they do have a fairly robust system for this not to happen, and this was just a genuine little oopsie.
Yeah. Yes.
And then it was an oopsie followed by, caching. Callum will screw with you as these notifications were all cached in places. People who had automated emails were sending them out. You had hosting companies putting banners all over their web things. And you've got to feel, you know, you sat there watching this happen and then you're like, oh,
yeah,
that was meant to go out next week.
Yeah. So the curious thing there is
coordination normally. So.
Yeah. In the regular run of everybody's WordPress life, if you inadvertently publish something, you just stick it back in draft stay and everything's back where it was, but not this. Loads of dominoes fall. Loads of dominoes.
They were quite apologetic also they were sharing this info. There was discussion of it in post status.
Oh my goodness. Oh, well, I have all of my sympathy goes to the person who did that. We obviously no names associated with that, but dear me. Oh dear. I can imagine how dreadful that felt. Okay. So there's a couple of things, here. What have we got? Mark Wilkinson says auto update everything. That makes perfect sense. And backup as well. And test the backups as well. Daveden says, how do we still have a 1.x branch? I'm definitely not logging in for local testing. No, I think he was meaning there was a site out in the wild that...
Yeah, nobody's backporting to 1.x.
Yeah.
It would be very hard. I think most of the code doesn't exist. Yeah,
good fun. Cameron says, Gutenberg was only introduced in 5. A bit strange to have FSE in 4.7.
Maybe it was me misspeaking as I was going through, but yeah, the 4.7 branch is the last branch before FSE. That's
okay,
before Gutenberg was introduced.
And then Tammy rightly pointing out every single person that helped with the security release needs props and kudos. Yeah, they were, and they will be put back on the screen. There's a whole bunch of people there, contributors to this latest release. Hogops says Olivia. Yeah, we're sending all the love things that you could possibly send. There we go. Oh, and Tammy, listen, missed this one. Backporting is an incredible fine art form. Okay.
And as we know, art is not random. Therefore, backporting is not either.
I'm going to spend the rest of my day trying to think of something that is truly random. I know I'm going to fail, but I'm going to try.
And I'm going to step in for Tim Nash and say, if you're trying to think of it, it is therefore not random. Am I correct, Tim?
Okay, let's move on.
I get it.
Right, so we've said at the top of the show that Tammy, who is on the show frequently, last week, in fact, she has got a really nice little project going on. Here it is. Why did nobody secure this name before? That was so obvious. Blocktober. What a great idea. So Tammy, with the help of the Telex platform by Automatic. Well, I'll just read it. The idea is simple.
You can put it on screen too.
Oh, sorry. Apologies. I thought I'd done that.
That was better.
Yeah, thank you. I'm so sorry. I thought I had. So here we are. This is Blocktober, Blocktober, for those that can't see the screen, .fun, and then / Blocktober if you want to get to this page. So the idea was simple, she says. A block a day for the month of October. I, as in Tammy, will be using Telex by Automatic, like a prompt system for creating blocks and plugins and things like that. But I think blocks specifically, to make these and posting each day at 12 p.m. UK time, one block a day all month. And if you go back to the homepage, here we go, you can try some of them out. This is a work in progress. I confess, I tried Snake, but I got very annoyed very, very quickly because it turns out I'm not very good at it. And
Tetris might be more your speed than Nathan.
Well,
it starts a little slower.
Do you know what?
Yeah, it's blocky blocks.
The problem with any of these games is I just get really annoyed. I have this high expectation of myself and then I can't live up to it and it really annoys me.
I gave you 20 minutes of my day playing Tetris the one day.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I feel really bad because I was at least 45 minutes to an hour before I realized how much I'd spent playing that game.
I rage quit. I'm sorry.
You robbed our panel of at least an hour and a half.
Terry, make a block about Lego and then it's a block in a block as well, which would be so fun.
Tammy, can I just ask that you create a random number generator, please? That's got to be one. And number 30. And can you use, I don't know, a lava lamp to assist in the creation of that as well? But yeah,
Nathan,
what a great idea. Terry, go on, Courtney.
Slightly off topic, but Tammy may appreciate. The random number generator, Tammy, should always answer 42.
Oh, he says, reaching, if he's slightly out of the reach copy of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. That's a good answer. So all I can say is go and have a look. Tammy is, obviously, it's a lot of fun. Tammy's having a great time creating these different bits and pieces. So we've got Snake, we've got Journaling Prompt, we've got Pixel Block, Terminal Block, ASCII Tetris, and obviously the posts about the actual whole enterprise.
I don't want to ignore, but the fun ones like Snake and Tetris, actually, the changelog that was published, I mean, it might have been today. Oh, it is, the one at the top. I actually thought, that's super cool. I might actually use that.
So what does this one do? This creates a changelog from what?
You give it a source, it generates you a changelog.
That is neat. Yeah, that is a good idea. So a block that outputs a changelog, this can have a GitHub URL, uploaded file, or pasted content. You can edit the markdown and so do some simple styling. The idea would be to simply show on a page changelog, keeping it simple to start. That is nice, and it sort of sums it up beautifully, doesn't it? Look at that. Ooh. Yeah, very nice.
I was asking Tammy some questions the other day regarding the prompts that she gives it, and we both kind of settled in on, we go to other AI systems to help write our prompt before we give it to Telex. And I'm excited to see if and when Tammy shares some of the prompts that led to the project, how she goes about framing the prompts that get Telex to do this.
I want to know.
That would be very good. If you had underneath the block, the prompt that was stored there.
Oh, Tammy, there you go. That's for next year. That's Blocktober 2026. You can include
your
change logs
from a year ago.
So firstly, Tammy says thank you for including this. Of course. She then goes on in slightly loud English, I might add, to say there are no random generators. There's got to be. I'm sure of it. I'm sure you're right. And then Nomad Skateboarding says they made a random with a quantum computer this year, if that counts. Tim, I'm sure. No, Tim's not happy. Tim's
shaking. They made something that looked random with a quantum computer this year.
Yeah. And then Dave then very kindly saying he's tried out the Tetris and he enjoyed it. There you go. There's the problem. Tammy, you're destroying the productivity of many of the people in this chat. So now that I've shown it to many more people, maybe we'll get some more time spent in that manner. And then Taco says, don't worry, Nathan, you're the only one having high expectations of you. It's true. Even my mother gave up at a very
young age. Oh, that's harsh.
It is harsh.
Well, but we're not going to say it out loud.
Yes, I know.
Taco will.
We're so often sat on the naughty step. So often sat on the naughty step. Right,
well,
okay, so there we go.
Paul, you can say anything.
Yes, indeed. There we go. Blocktober.fun. Go check it out. What a fun project. Great idea. I mean, really genuinely cool idea. And what's also really interesting about it is I think many people in their minds kind of associate a block with just a functional bit of a website, like a paragraph or an image or just some component part of a general web page. But of course, as we can see from what Tammy's doing, they really can be like little mini applications, if you like, and do some incredibly complicated, unusual, and random things. Moving on. Here we go. Next one is this. So Nick Hamsey, I confess, I had not heard of Nick Hamsey until a few weeks ago. And now Nick Hamsey seems to be the poster child of really good ideas in the WordPress space, certainly getting lots of attention. And I don't know that we've ever had the same person on this show being featured twice, but there's a couple of things that he wrote this week and we're going to mention them both. This is the first one. Good Chaos, a WordPress plugin discovery experiment. Can I just say before we introduce this, I think this should happen. I think this is good enough just off the bat to just give it a try. Why not? It's basically for those people who submit their plugin, like create a plugin, do all the hard work, make it, you know, put loads of effort into it and then submit it to .org. Only to discover that the days of build it and they will come, well, they came and went. You know, that's just not going to happen. If you put your plugin into the WordPress repo, you're up against 59,000 other bits of content. And so it's going to be hard to find traction and find that new audience. So Nick's got a great idea.
I have some thoughts there.
Okay. Do you want to say it now? Yeah.
So for the plugin directory experiment, I think many people look at this and say, absolutely, yes. I also think that some of the ideas are ideas that other contributors have shared over the years.
Okay, good.
And have had no traction about having, for instance, like an area of most recently published plugin on the directory. And so I think what I would love, I am adoring the ideas Nick is putting forward. I am concerned that if these ideas get an uptick, that Nick gets the uniqueness credit that's there that other contributors may not. And I believe, not entirely certain, but I believe Nick might be an automatic employee. So I want to handle with delicate fingers here, you know, but
yeah,
these are ideas that we need to see. And I want to hear more of Nick's ideas. It's a good reminder to also realize that sometimes when we have an idea that we think nobody else has had, this is amazing, this is great. Let's dig back and explore if others have had that idea and maybe why it did not get implemented yet.
Oh, interesting.
And what we could do to solve for that.
Yeah, okay.
Right.
Thank you for that. And I think you're right. I had never come across this idea before, so kind of just intuited from that Nick was the originator of it. But you are, I'm sure, right, that there's probably people who've had a similar idea in the past. I have a slightly unique, not unique, but I have a different take in that I get contacted a lot by people who've got a brand new plugin because, you know, they want a bit of like exposure or something like that. And it is fairly heartbreaking, actually, especially this time of year, this Black Friday time of year. Loads and loads of these things come your way. And, you know, so somebody will submit something to go on that Black Friday page and you'll look at it and you'll think, wow, that thing that they've got looks really cool. Like the plugin is great. The website is great. It's all great. But I've never heard of them. And yet they've been going for several years. How on earth has that happened? And, you know, they're just missing the jigsaw piece of the marketing side possibly or something. So just getting back to Nick or, you know, et al, whoever has had that idea in the past. The idea is this, that there's a featured tab in the plugin directory on .org, which showcases many things. And he's saying it seems to, you know, show things which are already successful, featured things which have already gained traction, already got an audience. So the simple idea is why not learn from other platforms like, for example, the Shopify App Store, the Mac App Store, Google's Play Store, and so on and so forth. And his idea, very solid, it's just this, very exacting proposal. Let's feature 8 different plugins for 1 week and track what happens to their install numbers. That's it, simple, measurable, reversible. We select 8 quality plugins. I don't know what that means, but let's imagine that there's a bit of thought behind that deserve a shot at visibility, give them featured placement for exactly 1 week and watch what happens. And that there's more to it than that, but yeah, it really, he's just trying to say, let's just give some people the opportunity to surface their work. And of course, I imagine that exactly what everybody's going to say off this one is, who are the 8? Aren't we just creating a new subset of people who are then featured?
Let's just randomly generate them.
Yeah. Oh, that's such a good idea.
But can you just imagine the, we have an algorithm. And what that sort of drama would be.
Yeah.
Just as a thought, this, we desperately need better plugin discoverability.
Yes.
We I don't think there's a single person who thinks that the current system works well, unless you happen to be one of the 8 currently featured on the featured page. You absolutely, you know, even if you know the name of a plugin and you search for it, there's a reasonable chance that even if you put the correct name in, it still doesn't come up first in the search directory, depending on various things. So we all know this. We all know discoverability is a problem. So any work that we have by anybody who says, let's go and improve it, the problem has been that everybody who we've tried many times jumping up and down and saying we need to improve this, it is a area that seems to be walking on eggshells, and it seems to be very difficult to get traction. I'd love there to be like a featured editor section. I'll be honest, I think hosting companies should have far more control over the plugins page. It would be great. Most hosting companies should have control over the plugins. It would be great if they could have like a featured editor section where it's like, these are the plugins that we recommend our people to, you know, our managed hosting. We know that you might need certain things. We can show the caching plugin or our hosting company's plugin there and things like that. Historically, you could get away with modifying and doing this yourselves. But even that, now people are like, ooh, you shouldn't be modifying this. You shouldn't be affecting WordPress core. which is where things like FAIR really appeal to me, and this idea that, like, oh, actually, this gives us a really good opportunity. If we've started to swap out the back end, we've started to swap out and we've got built-in discoverability options, well, now we can create new UI at the front and we can have fun with doing that. And people like Nick, who was all about, like, there should be more fun in Word. I'm sure that's one of his posts.
Yeah, there was something about that WordPress. A few weeks back.
That's, you know, that creativity and things. We can bring that back in. We can start experimenting. Whereas at the moment, the plugin screens seem to be almost feel like they're off limits, and that if you can't change that. And I don't understand where that lock came in and why, because people have changed it in the past, and we've seemed to have just gained this sort of like, ooh, we can't do that anymore. I don't know where that came from.
Well, to that point, Jonathan, hello, Jonathan, says there was once a section in the dashboard that showed recently released plugins and it was removed, he thinks, about 12 years ago. I wasn't using WordPress that long
ago.
Yeah, that's
good memory.
Yeah. But if that's the case, that's kind of interesting. You said something interesting there, Tim, because you encapsulated it perfectly. You said an editor's featured section, and it's the word editor. So I have an Android phone, and if I go into the Play Store on Android, there's this, and they call it editor's choice or something like that. So they're making it obvious that some human being has decided this is worthy of your attention.
They've told you that some human being. That doesn't mean
algorithmic
choice.
They're not sort of saying, they're sort of making it appear that, okay, this is a, there's some decision that went into raising this one in front of you. Maybe there was an algorithm, maybe not. But I think Nick is trying to just say, let's run it as an experiment. So just pick eight, run it for a week, and then look at the telemetry on the other side. And if those eight plugins have had an uptick, let's say they go from, I don't know, 100 installs in the previous week to 15,000 the following week, well, we know there was a substantial benefit to those eight plugins. As an experiment, it worked. Then you get into the knotty thing of how the heck do you then decide which are going to be featured, you know, because then all of a sudden you've got a new problem to face, haven't you?
It also begs the question that in the repository is only the free plugins. Perhaps you're looking for a plugin that does something that exists that isn't even in the repo. And we have people trying to solve this already in WordPress, right? So we have plugins, like not plugins, but plugins.
plugins.com
where you can search and for, you know, keywords of like, you know, I used to work for Give. You can look for donation. Look at the word donation and it'll come up with all the plugins that do donations, whether they're free or not. And there's now a plugins plugin and it's all using AI to be able to search and generate those things even from within your dashboard. So when there is a challenge within WordPress, there are often people trying to solve it from the outside. But again, discoverability is the difficult thing, right? So trying to get some momentum behind something like plugins, which is made by Cervelia out of Barcelona. Like, how do they grow that if they're not in the repo already? So
here's
a circular argument. Yeah.
Here's an idea as well. In FAIR right now, folks can choose to install plugins that are on some Git repo. So that could be GitHub or GitLab, Bitbucket, et cetera. Pick your version du jour. And plugins will go through a process of getting decentralized IDs. It basically means a security number, essentially numbers, letters. Similar to if you go to install, for those that are devs, if you go to install an extension inside a VS Code, it asks you, do you trust this source? Well, WordPress implicitly trusts the sources of WordPress.org hosted plugins. Usually folks get other plugins either because they're rolling their own or because they have purchased something premium. Whereas if you want to start finding and discovering all of these types of things that are out across various Git repos, et cetera, if they get on board with having a decentralized ID, getting the certificate, basically, it will become discoverable in the search system if you are using FAIR to source your updates and installs. So you can go through in that direction as well. And I think that some of the ideas that are here are just kind of reiterating. These are really good ideas of increasing discoverability. And I do want to see Anything that is a directory helped to surface that more. And I know John is here from WP Plugins A to Z. I know that his show alone has covered, wow, lots of plugins every week. So, yep.
Yeah. I think that, yep. There you go. Yeah, that's interesting. He's probably got a really unique approach on it. Every week, there's always one thing that gets more comments than anything else. So far this week, this has been the thing. There's too many.
Just before you jump in the comments, as both me and Courtney have mentioned it repeatedly, FAIR is, if you want to learn more about FAIR, which is a distributed way for getting your plugins, finding your plugins that doesn't necessarily rely on WordPress.org. The idea is it's completely decentralized. If you go to fair.pm, that will give you a load more information about it, just in case it's something that you've not come across before.
And if anyone wants to just kind of browse around, the address for browsing around FAIR sources the plugins right now through Aspire and Aspire Press in particular. So if you go to aspirepress.org/plugins, that will also get you there. So you can browse around without having to do the work of installing FAIR at the plugin directory, essentially, that FAIR will see at this time.
Oh, I see. So you can look at it as if it were installed. You can view an example of it.
Similar to the .org plugin directory, but it's going to look for everything that's also not just .org, but out there.
Okay. There's a whole bunch of different things in here. So I've got the one from Jonathan. He says, if you use the new FAIR plugin, you will see plugins not normally unearthed. Thank you for that. But then there's a load of other comments, many of them sort of going backwards and forwards between each other. The marketing side is from Mark Wilkinson. The marketing side is definitely a bigger problem than the plugin development or idea. And obviously the marketing side of WordPress has taken a bit of a...
Now, if Telex would also market our plugins as well as build them for us.
Okay, Tammy, I think day 30 of October has been sorted out for you there. Can you have a marketing...
marketing block.
Yeah, marketing. What the heck that would do? I have no idea.
Just install it and your site's solved.
Yeah, that's all it is.
Can I have that plug? Can we all, please?
We'll have access to that. Okay, so... Nick is consuming lots of the oxygen in the room. Apparently, there was a little thing up here. Where did it say? Taco says, is Nick real? Does anybody know him personally? And Tammy says, yes, he is actually real.
So I don't think he's consuming, just to be clear, I don't think he's consuming the oxygen in the room.
And that was a badly worded phrase. You're right.
Yes, there is a level where he is. It does feel like someone who's discovering WordPress. And I know he's been around for a while, but it does feel like someone who's very excited. He's discovered all these things. He's found all this stuff. And he's now meeting the jaded old folk who are going, you think we haven't thought this through?
Yeah.
And it's like, you think these are new ideas? But the thing is, some of them are new ideas. Some of them, and any voice that we can bring more voices in, that's got to be worth doing. So if we sound jaded, that's not a good thing, but it is coming from a place of we've seen some of these before, but it's brilliant that we're getting new voices and old voices coming up with these ideas, because if we don't we'll be stuck.
Well, thank you, and thank you for also picking up on that phrase. I think that phrase does have a negative connotation, doesn't it? And I was definitely not meaning that, so thank you for that, Tim. So the other one, which Nick created, I don't know. Shall I do this one? We've got this one about the build. I'm just looking.
You can't not do it now.
I can't. Okay, here we go. Sorry.
Yeah. I'm there for putting it back.
Suddenly struggling to breathe. That was the problem. All the oxygen is gone. So this is another one. Same website. It's called Building My Dream Plugin Curation Tool. So it's a similar thing as we've just described, and I'll read it because it's going to be quicker. The plugin repository search functionality is solid for basic queries, but when you want to really curate, you need more. You need a filter, but you need to filter by multiple criteria, sort in different ways, analyze trends, and discover patterns that aren't immediately obvious. The built-in search wasn't designed for the kind of deep exploration I wanted to do. Then I realized the plugin repository has an open API, and with modern tools, Tammy, like Telex, I could build exactly what I needed. So I did. I created my own solution that lets me search, filter, and analyze plugins in ways the standard interface never could. And then there's a whole list of different bits and pieces on the screen. I've got to say, when I go to things like for example, on the phone, like the Android App Store or whatever it's called, Play Store or something like that, that it's limited over there as well. It's not like I get basically get to categorize, you know, I get to say, show me this category or search by typing in text. I don't have these kind of like faceted filtering, which I presume is what Nick is talking about. I don't know what your thoughts on this are. Again, it seems like a good idea. I don't personally know that I would make a great deal of use of it. Maybe I would if it was there. But yeah, anyway, over to you, panel, if you wanted to mention this. If not, we'll just move on.
Just very quickly, package management has been a problem for every system on the planet since the day dot.
Okay.
This we are the problems and issues we have with package management, which is ultimately what plugin management is in WordPress, is not unique, and we can reach out to solutions. And the popular solutions, you know, your Android Play Store, your Apple App Store, they've sort of coalesced around this idea of giving you a UI with like the editor choices and all of this, and a simplified UI. But if we go down the other extremes and we go to like Linux systems, which are often very distributed in their way, they have so many different tools and techniques for how to filter and manage them, from you don't have any through to really complex UIs that are probably too overwhelming for the average person, but for the person who really wants to dig down to find that very specific application, because they know it exists.
Yeah.
And I think that's a huge difference. In the Linux world, there is an assumption that what you want probably exists. I think we're still in the WordPress world under the belief that the vast majority of the time we've come up with an original thought of our own, or we've just come up with something that is random. And so...
Oh.
42.
Can I just say, I missed a crucial part of what Nick was saying, and actually it's something that I do think is really important. So by the way, on the screen, forgive me if you're listening to this, I'm showing it what he's built. So it's got, you know, it's got sort by most popular, sort by most popular, highest installs, et cetera, you can imagine. And then there's a bunch of categories, and then minimum rating. So that's something you've seen everywhere, right? Airbnb and things like that. And then the maximum number of installs. So you can go for things which are, he's called hidden gems. I guess also that would also mean not so gem as well. The reason it's got less than 1,000 might equally be that it's, you know, not really up to much. But the piece that he really wanted to lean into was this, was the images, right? And I'm totally with him on that. Whenever I go to look at a plugin on the .org repo, this is where I end up. I want to do this. I want to see the screens. I want to be able to cycle through them, see what my options are going to look like. And the verbiage is kind of interesting, but I always end up looking at the screenshots. And the screenshots on .org are not ideal. You end up on a new page for each screenshot, that kind of thing. And it ends up being a bit of a messy experience. So I appreciate this bit. I actually think this is a really interesting way of surfacing things. Just the screenshots are front and center. That's the most important thing in Nick's mind, and I actually agree with him on that, whether or not the spaticid search is as useful. Anyway, there we go, he's built it, so you can go and have a look. Anything else before we move on? Time is running short. Okay, great, in which case I will move on. Taco, who is in the comments, contacted me earlier in the week. I am so going to butcher these words, but never mind, I will try it. He says, so Taco, very nice chap that he is, he runs a WordPress event in, I'm going to say it, Nijmegen. Woohoo, did it. And
how do you know you did it?
Oh, darn, now you've undermined me. I don't know if I did it. I probably got it wrong. I know how I'll know. It's because Taco will pop into the comments and say, you did it right. So here we go. Sinterklaas, that's the one that I was very unconfident about. I'm guessing it's like short for Santa Claus or something like that. Is an event which they run, like it's their kind of Christmassy event, and it's all about giving gifts, and they want to do the same. So they are looking for financial and in-kind sponsors. So if you sell a WordPress plugin or service, or you can gift and you want to have it promoted at the meetup, then reach out, sponsors at wpm024.nl. It's on the screen, it'll be in the show notes, but basically they're looking for people so that their event has this sort of happy giving aspect to it. So the idea of giving away prizes and so on, and in order to make that happen, they would like the prizes to be donated. So I just thought that was a really nice idea. So it's the WordPress meetup in Nijmegen, and presumably, you know, 4th of December, what's that? 2 months out. So they're getting ahead of the game, wanting to get bits and pieces lined up for that. So Taco, hopefully that helps.
He says you did it right.
There you go. That's how I know I did it right. Luckily Taco drops in. No, I wasn't meaning, Taco, that it means it's not a gem. I just mean that there's bound to be some that are under 1,000 that are languishing because they are not a gem. Does that make sense? I wasn't trying to pour.
Also, the other comment that Taco put on there was not about Progress Planner. I am amazed that it's only got around 200 installs. Hmm. You know, if I was had to guess, I would have been, it's probably got, I don't think it would be in the millions because it's a fairly new plugin, but I'd have gone, it'd be in the tens of thousands. So I'm really shocked when it's like, oh, it's just, that seems really low. So just because something's low doesn't mean it's not good.
Yes, indeed. You're quite right. Okay, so, and also he says, thank you for sharing it. So you're very welcome. I will link to it. It's a LinkedIn post. The URL is unreadable because it's got loads of numbers at the end, but I'll put it into the show notes. But you can always reach out to Taco. And the email address, once again, read it into the record, sponsors@wpm024.nnovemberllima as well. Check me out doing the phonetic alphabet there. Just a couple of letters for you. They're the only two I know. Right, moving on. What have we got here? No, let's not do that one. Let's move on quickly because time is pressing. This has never happened to me. It was really interesting. Self-promotion. Apologies. I'll do it quickly. Dan Mabey and I have got this plugin called Podcaster Plus, which enables you to create podcast players and theme your podcast website quickly. And we've put quite a lot of time and effort into it. But we've never seen anybody using it apart from the beta testers. And they were doing it in sort of limited ways. And then this week, Kathy Zunt dropped a video where she's used it on her website using GeneratePress and GeneratePress Elements. And it was just lovely. So I just want to say thank you to Kathy for creating a bit of content which shows what the plugin can do. And both Dan and I were like, oh, it's so weird watching somebody else use this thing that you built. So that was quite nice. Links in the show notes. Kathy has redone her WordPress podcast website, and she was just showing how you can do that with GeneratePress and GeneratePress. And then right at the very end, she introduces our little thing so that you can make the players look unique. So there we go. This has been really fascinating to watch. This has, again, like got a load of traction and probably for good reason. So Ollie from Mike McAllister, Ollie has had for a little while a menu designer. Well, I say a little while, a few weeks, a menu designer whereby you can create your WordPress navigation in a full site editing theme using blocks. And I think it's fair to say that the core version of the options available for navigation are, let's go with limited, let's use that word. And so Mike has come along and dropped what was a pro plugin, and I believe pretty much all of the features that were in the pro, you know, that shipped with the pro version of his theme, is now encapsulated in this free thing. I think there's a couple of like edge case features that haven't been included. Anyway, the round of applause across the social web has been fairly dramatic, actually. Lots of people applauding loudly, not only that he's done this, but also the product itself. Many people seem to use it and thinking, actually, this is it. I could be wrong about this, but I have a recollection that Matt Mullenweg even suggested it was maybe kind of core worthy.
Yep. It was on Twitter when Matt had replied to Mike's comment about having this ready. He was nudging, contributed to core. And I think it was done in a okay way. Like, it wasn't give me your proprietary code kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. And so I love seeing that Mike is doing this. Mike was known when Ollie was getting off the ground for having an onboarding wizard, and that kind of created a little kerfuffle at a time because it was not the normal way that themes did things to have dependency on a plugin, right? Yeah. I have just so enjoyed Mike's willingness to continue forward with this. I do use the Ollie theme on my site, and so I had early access to test out this plugin. I have been the person to write the lesson plan on learn.wordpress.org many times, revising it about FSCs. Sorry, we don't say FSC anymore. That's been a thing for a couple of years. We say
site editor.
Site editor, yes. Yeah. And so in site editor, I was the one that handled on learn.wordpress.org for a number of years, continually revising the content of the menu editor because it was just so...
limited.
So I'm really hoping... I'm just going to not use other words. I'll just say... but I'm really hoping to see that maybe this will come into the site editor experience, bits of this at least, because it is such a more intuitive way of laying out what you want in your menu and has more features available to it. Just the mechanics for somebody that is new to site editor of fussing with the menu is probably the area of site editor I most want to see improved.
There's loads of screenshots on the .org repo with it. And you just get an idea. You know, you can basically build more or less anything, you know, that you'd imagine. And obviously Mike does an incredible job of putting screenshots where he really demonstrates how amazing you can make it. So anyway, bravo. Tim, Michelle, anything on that?
I love Mike's stuff. Mm-hmm. He makes things so I can make things that,
yeah, there
that
you
look
go.
Rubbish. Yeah. Something like DaveySecurity101.com is running Ollie. Like Courtney, I had access to this over the previous weeks. It's just easy. I understand it. It sort of fits into site editing well without need, and it doesn't feel like it's different and unique. I got confused the other day when it wasn't on a site, and then I remembered that it was actually part of something, you know, there was something I had to install. So even in a very short space of time, I just was like, well, where's my menu template? Why have I not built one yet? That's strange. Isn't there one there by default? No, Tim, there isn't.
No. And just you can probably answer this because you played with it. Does it use core tools? I think it does.
Yeah, it's all just ultimately behind the scene patterns and just a tiny little switching option in there. It's brilliant. As far as you're concerned, it feels totally native, and the only bit that it's doing is where it's displaying it.
Okay. Interesting. So there we go. A general round of applause, I think, for Mike McAllister's Ollie. What is it called exactly again? Ollie Menu Designer. Completely free, available. Read the description. And actually, if you want a more in-depth approach, there's this on the repository by Ray Moray. She talks about it and obviously has a back and forward conversation with Mike McAllister.
Also, just worth emphasizing, you don't need Ollie. It will work with any site.
Oh, good point.
Yeah.
So I realize we kept saying the word Ollie a lot. And in fact, I don't think he calls it Ollie's menu. I think it's just menu designer in the plugin.
Okay, thank you.
It's Ollie menu designer on the repo.
Yeah.
I was trying to defend him. How rude.
Yes. Widespread applause. Bravo. There we go. Have a look at Ray's post on the repository if you wish to learn more. Very quickly, we'll go through these as quickly as we can. This is a developer blog article. So, you know, there's not a lot of point in me going through it because it's things that you in a tutorial wouldn't maybe implement for yourself. But just to say that in the forthcoming version of WordPress 6.9, there is a new developer option, which is border radius presets. I think Justin mentioned this, and there was a little bit of clamoring on social saying, why are we, I don't know, lauding such basic things as border radius in WordPress core? Well, because it's there and it's cool to have, and not everything can be amazing, I suppose. Would it have been nice to have this a little while ago? Yeah, of course it would, but now we have it, and Justin will explain how you can implement that if you, I don't know, have a theme of your own, for example. Anybody want to go into that? No. Okay. Great. In which case, I will keep going. I didn't put this one in, so this is over to Courtney. This is WP Ally Docs Update September 2025.
Yeah, so the Docs Update is the title of the article. It's not the most important part, but the important part there to know is the knowledge base is ready to contribute. So you see that the accessibility team is working on having its own knowledge base, and the address for that right now is at wpaccessibility.org. And they need folks to come and contribute. And so I'm excited to see where this is going. They've got a section there that I need to look into, like standards and best practices, testing for accessibility. I'm excited to see, you know, what the direction of this project is. I think it could be really helpful for a lot of folks that need to get up to speed about accessibility to have a good definitive place. And coming from a WordPress lens of things, it will hopefully help us with the how to do this inside of WordPress in particular, not just that there are lots of accessibility resources out there, but how do we in particular bring more accessibility into WordPress using the normal WordPress interface that we have.
Very neat indeed. So I'll link to both articles, but probably the most salient one is this one. WPaccessibility.org is going to be the new home for the knowledge base, if you like, the documentation surrounding WP Accessibility going forward. There's already an awful lot on there, but obviously, as Courtney said.
And come contribute.
Okay, yeah, of course. Yeah. There's a menu item in the sidebar on the left, which is how to contribute. And there's a whole bunch of different bits and pieces that you can read there for yourself. Right. There were two pieces here, but I'm only going to do one. Tim, and was it? Oh, gosh, that didn't come. Was it this one that was the preferred one?
Yes.
Yeah. So this is a plugin. It's on GitHub. It's called Block Logins with Cloudflare. And not block as in WordPress block, but block as in stop. We all know what Cloudflare does, but what does this do?
So you published it, so you should know.
I do.
So the quick answer is that quite often when we try to block bad bots from logging into your site, most people will have come across plugins that will just, like, say, after five attempts go, I'm not letting you in anymore. Nearly always, these involve storing the IP in the database, and a bad actor comes along and uses a new IP. So your database grows and grows and grows, and your login gets slower and slower and slower. They're generally really, they're the sort of thing that people think are really good for security tend to be really terrible. The better solution is to get your host to do this for you. If, however, you're in a scenario where your host is not using things like filter ban or tarpitting and various other methods, you might be using Cloudflare, in which case, wouldn't it be better if Cloudflare just blocked it all for you? And this plugin does exactly that. So instead of storing the IPs in your local database so that they hit your site and consume your resources, it basically updates Cloudflare's rules and blocks the bad bots at that level, at the Cloudflare level, meaning it never hits your site, it's never using your resources, and gives you a much, you're not going to be slowing yourself down by ineffectively DOSing yourself by trying to back around in the first
place.
Yeah,
that doesn't sound good. That does not sound good.
So it's quite cool. It's on GitHub. I cannot vouch for whether it's what it's like in terms of the code, because as I say, this is something Nathan threw in front of me about an hour and 20 minutes ago.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. So caveat emptor. Go and check it out first. Can I ask you a totally random question? I know time is short. So this is directed
42.
What was that?
You said the word random, and I said 42.
Oh, did I miss that?
But you said it like a Dalek.
You have an intro.
In the future, Cloudflare is going to be an institution that we worry about. In the same way that, like, 15 years ago, everybody thought that Google was this perfect company.
I'm sorry, you don't think that we already consider this to be
Is the long and the short of it would be yes, but do you have any intuition that people are relying on this one single point of failure more and more?
I mean, we live in a world where, in fact, if you're going to look at scary points of infrastructure failure, you have Cloudflare, you have Amazon. AWS and those two together, you can then argue things like Azure and Google Cloud. Once you've got, if you have any an infrastructure problem that hits both Cloudflare and AWS on the East Coast, half the internet ceases to be.
Yes, crazy.
And we're not just talking the web, so as in websites. So much infrastructure runs through Cloudflare that we would be losing, and so many services that maybe not actually are even HTTP based. Go through Cloudflare's infrastructure, go through AWS's infrastructure. So, we have these giant points of failure. Cloudflare is a really good example of a company that does awesome stuff and I actively want support. And at the same time, I actively don't implement a lot of the stuff that they use because I do not want to be caught up in Cloudflare being inevitably something going wrong. Their positions, whether that's a political position, whether that is technical issues, whether that's a bunch of just them becoming more evil than they already are.
There, that exactly that point is what concerns me, is that you just don't know how they're going to be in the future.
But you don't know how any company's going to be.
No, exactly. And so
we have so many good organizations that turn evil, and so many bad companies that there have been companies that we collectively say, these are really bad companies who've changed their minds. And actually, you end up in really weird scenarios where you're starting to say things like, Microsoft are really good eggs, aren't they?
Exactly. Taco sort of sums it up. He says, Cloudflare is problematically large, but so far at least they seem to be the good guys on the web. That's why I made the point about Google. Google, for me, were the good guys on the web. And then suddenly at some point I woke up and went, hang on, no, that all changed. What went wrong there? And then it's kind of too late. You know, you're already embedded and everybody's addicted to what they do. He then goes on to say, and that was only a fraction of what could happen. I presume he's talking about CloudStrike there, which Cameron Jones mentioned, which was a problem we had a little while ago. And then Davidson says, a few companies control the majority of the web. Yeah, it was more from the technical bit, obviously, but also the ethical bit, and whether or not they become coerced by a nation state to do certain things in certain ways and that kind of thing. Anyway, that was...
Just very quickly, we're fundamentally destroying the concept of a web. If we consolidate down to three or four major companies that control everything, it is no longer a distributed system. And that generally is a bad thing, whether you like it or not. You don't want everything going through just three or four companies.
I would like to draw everybody's attention to, now that you've just said that, I quickly looked it up. Go and listen to this one. Dave Weiner on decentralization and open publishing and things like that. A really interesting episode with an absolute stalwart of the internet. You know, it goes back right to the beginnings, the Tim Berners-Lee sort of days and things like that. I had a chat with him over on the tavern. Right, time is really short. Which ones are we going to cover? It turns out the UK want to have access to your iCloud data. They've wanted this for ages, but I think Apple said no, because you want the entire world's data. So now the UK government have come back and said, but we only want the UK's citizens' data. So we'll see how this plays out. I'm curious. I'm just watching Tim's face to see. He's got a sort of slightly frowny, unexpectedly...
Tim, are you an Android user?
No, I'm not. Okay. But if I was, I've already lost my data, so I'm quite pleased.
That's true. Google gave it away.
You just lost it to somebody else. So anyway, that's the thing. Keep your eye on that. Maybe more in the spirit of the open web. This is kind of interesting. So this is over on the Social Web Foundation website, and I'll link to the actual thing in a moment. This is a move by Blue Sky, who obviously now have, I don't know if it's really growing anymore, but certainly for a while it was growing at a reasonable rate. Blue Sky, imagine it like a Twitter X alternative. They have now kind of they've planted their flag in the sand a little bit with this thing called the Patent Non-Aggression Pledge. You can find that here. Obviously, I don't speak legal language, but basically, in the future, I'll read it and you can make of it what you want. It goes like this, and I'm sure maybe there's more to it than this. Blue Sky Social will not enforce any of the patents on any software invention Blue Sky Social owns, nor in the future, except against a party who files, threatens, or voluntarily participates in a claim for patent infringement, blah, blah, blah. This pledge is intended to be a legally binding statement. And then there's some more bits and pieces. Essentially, what they're saying is, you know, we're going to be the good guys. We're going to do the right thing, and we're not going to go after people for patent infringement and things like that. I don't know whether this is sort of washing or not, but...
I'm not a lawyer, but I'm pretty sure that you can't have a thing that enforces in perpetuity in something like that. So they're basically the "and forever" part can be overridden with "we've changed our minds."
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, it was, again, this got a lot of attention from a lot of the people who kind of I admire in this space on the sort of open web side of things. They seem to think that it was well conceived, but maybe, like you said, there's some more thoughts.
Sure, there's a get out of jail for when they do, you know, have to.
That's right. The hidden clause, clause 4. Which we're not actually going to release. Anyway, there you go. If you are using the social web, this might be something that you're interested in. What have we got? Have we got enough time? Ruby? I don't think we have. I don't think we've got... Maybe just this one. Should we just touch on this one very quickly? This is this came from Courtney. This was from you, Courtney, right?
It is, yeah. So the pulse check on wider open source, Nathan glossed through. There's some drama over in the Ruby community, DHH saying things. Matt has had his blogging back and forth previously with the HH. And now we're seeing Eric Raymond, who is the author of The Cathedral and the Bazaar, which is kind of one of those fundamental principles under a lot of open source, calling for an end to code of conduct. And so what we're seeing in some large figureheads in open source, the open web, is on par with what we're seeing in global politics right now. This idea of ending a code of conduct is alarming to me, because when things are opaque, when there is not a standard to know what is appropriate and not appropriate, it is detrimental to the bazaar. In Eric's case, the cathedral and the bazaar. The bazaar is the marketplace where people come and build the big cathedral, essentially. And so Morten has a lot to say on that one, Morten Rand Hendrickson. But this idea of getting rid of a code of conduct, it's kind of like saying we have no, we're only here to focus on just the software, not the community, not the people involved in creating this software. And so that puts the individuals that contribute to this at risk. I really hope that we don't see what Eric is proposing make its way into other open source projects. Eric is known for having some other opinions that are equally as savory or unsavory, depending upon your mindset.
I will post this. We obviously haven't had a chance to really dig into the weeds of it, but this is on the itsfoss.com website. It's called The Man Who Started Open Source Initiative Advocates for Abolishing Codes of Conduct. You can read it for yourself, but he basically is arguing that such codes, and I'm going to quote from the article, such codes have failed their stated purpose entirely. Rather than fostering collaboration, he claims they have been called tools for causing disruption, and he now believes that it really should be encapsulated with this one sentence: the code of conduct should be removed and everything should be written under this one guideline. If you are more annoying to work with than your contributions justify, you will be ejected. I don't really know how to parse that, because there's a lot of subjective stuff in there.
Annoying to whom?
yeah, quite. So anyway, interesting to see that some things are moving in one direction. You know, we saw the blue sky thing mm-hmm. there, trying to at least go in one direction. We obviously got these people, DHH from Ruby, and now, what was this guy's called again? Eric
Raymond.
Thank you.
I really like Cameron Jones's comment.
Oh, thank you. Cameron has said the following: there's some drama in the Ruby community. It's like saying there's been a little debate in the Middle East. Yes, thank you. Yeah. Do you know what?
We don't have time to dig in.
That's exactly it. We could literally develop like 3 hours and still not get to the bottom of the Ruby community problem, I think. But maybe that's for another time.
Add to what Courtney has said, I think that it would be detrimental to our community at large to get rid of our codes of conduct. Having been the target of bullying in our community in the past, same, having done the training to be somebody who helps keep people within the code of conduct and understanding what both sides of that look like, and the recent article that I've seen saying that somebody has been removed from our community for misappropriating funds through WordCamp, I think it's really important that we have a set of guidelines. And nothing is black and white, right? What is bullying? How can bullying be construed? What is the harm of any particular act? That's where people come in and have the ability to look at each situation and make value judgments about harm to keep those in our community safe. I think bully me and I'm not going to be drummed out of our community. But there are people who are working their way into the community and who don't have as tough a skin or as big a shoulders as I do, who would feel incredibly othered and less likely to continue to contribute or begin to contribute if they were the target of some of those things. And so I would argue vehemently that we need to keep code of conduct in place.
When I experienced the bullying that led to me taking some years away from WordPress, there was no code of conduct yet, and there were no standards, and certainly no one was going to uphold those. And so I think the impetus is that if we have a set of standards, that it applies throughout the organization, and that helps ensure the mental well-being, because a lot of people that are new to contributing to open source don't understand to even look for a code of conduct. They're just new. They don't know what to do if something goes wrong until they're in the situation of something's going wrong. And so how do we protect folks that are in that realm and ensure that they become aware of a code of conduct? I love how at Linux Foundation events, we see the code of conduct on a roll-up banner right by the check-in desk. And I feel like that is, you may not stop and read the whole thing, but at least you can't be completely unaware either, right? Yeah. And because it's almost an obstacle. And it is when you go to, it's the fine print when you go to buy tickets to things, right? But I feel like it is really important for us to watch as a community that we know what are our standards. If you're newer, check into our codes of conduct. Check into what is appropriate at events or not. Check into what is appropriate conduct when you're contributing to any of the teams. And throughout the organization entirely, we need to make sure that we're upholding those standards for everybody in the project.
Yeah. A pithy way to end it is from Taco. He says, what I'm reading in that quote is that you can be a huge dick as long as you invest lots of time in doing so. So
that is not the title of this week's episode.
That is not, that's far too long.
I just read that three-word phrase in the middle.
No, there's one surefire way to be cancelled, and it would be that. He's carrying on. Taco has more to say. He says, at the Open Source Summit Europe, I completely missed the COC? What?
Code of conduct.
Oh dear, why did I not get that?
During the opening remarks, that's something most all WordCamps could do better, I'm presuming.
Just one very final thing, because I want to echo everything that both Michelle and Courtney have said, but also just add one tiny thing. A code of conduct is completely worthless if it's not being enforced.
Implemented.
Absolutely. Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Will Rogers said, good fences make good neighbors, and that is that when we have a set of boundaries, we know how to operate within that community, and that's what that code of conduct does for us.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. I like it. Okay, there we go. So thank you. The time is up. We've overextended. I'm really sorry about that for everybody. I will just put this into the record because Taco wants to qualify. No, he's saying that WordCamps already do better. Sorry, I missed
an open source summit did.
Yeah, yes. Thank you. Okay. Right. So there we go. Thank you to anybody who made a comment. As I said, it keeps the whole conversation going. It's wonderful to hear your thoughts. Appreciate that. Also, obviously, goes without saying that it's very nice to be joined by other. Can you imagine a show where I was joined by nobody and it was me just waffling on?
You have all those comments in the YouTube channel too.
Well, that's true. That's true. Oh, no, I don't think anybody wants to imagine that. But so thank you to you three. So
just imagine what randomness would come out of your mouth.
Well, yeah, probably a lot. I'm looking forward to the day when I can just be replaced by AI. I feel the barrier is quite low.
You know, Halloween is coming up and Michelle needs a costume idea.
Halloween is coming up.
Maybe she'll just have an AI version appeared.
Yeah, you can do an AI generated background. That might just cut the mustard, But
unfortunately, I can't be on that episode this year.
Oh, no, that's true.
I'm outside appointments, so I'll be here.
Darn, never mind. Sorry. Okay, right. So thank you to you, the audience. Thank you to our guests. Firstly, co-host, there she is, Michelle Fischer. Thank you very much indeed. Tim Nash over there. Thank you so much for all of your contributions. And to Courtney over there as well, thank you for your contributions. Really appreciate it. We'll be back in a week, hopefully, something like that, with another show, with a different panel. The only thing that it remains for me to do is to do the slightly humiliating hand wave. Do you know what I nearly said? And I don't know why. Okay, this is random, right?
You've just started it by preface.
You wait until you hear what I'm about to say, then you too will agree it's quite random. I nearly said the humiliating hand wave of death.
No, that just shows where your mind was going.
What was going on?
I'm not doing a hand wave now. No. You got it.
Nathan, which one of us were you looking at when you thought of this? Do we need to go and see a doctor?
I don't know where I was going with that. Right.
Nathan needs to see the doctor.
We need help. Get Nathan help. Get help. Right. That's it. Thank you so much. We'll be back next week. Take it easy. If you three want to hang around and have a little bit of chat, that would be lovely as well. But for the audience, certainly see you next time. And why can't I find the button to end it? It's because it's hidden behind the modal. And now the modal's gone. Here we go. See you later. Bye, 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 bye.